Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. When we hear the phrase a woman's right to choose, we're often referring to the hot-button issue of abortion. But journalist and blogger Suzanne Barston says increasingly the new battle lines are over breastfeeding. After Barston's first son was born, she wanted to breastfeed and give her son the advantage advocates say mother's milk provides, but her son couldn't latch and, despite what doctors said couldn't be possible, turned out to be allergic to her milk. Barston tried changing her own diet to no avail and finally, reluctantly, resorted to hypoallergenic formula. Her son thrived. Barston relates her experience and the political debate she wasn't prepared for in her new book, Bottled Up, How the Way We Feed Babies Has Come to Define Motherhood and Why It Shouldn't. She tells Lake Effect Stephanie Lecce that many mothers can't or simply don't want to breastfeed, but the growing lactivist movement often makes them feel like failures as moms, as Barston did at first.
The thought of trying it again, of going back to formula, just seemed like ultimate failure. And, you know, everything I read, I kept Googling, and everything said, you know, just keep up with it. There's no way a baby can be allergic to breast milk. There's no way breast milk is the best thing for a child who is allergic. So, you know, in my mind, I thought that was the last thing we should do is try formula. And it wasn't until, you know, a specialist said to me, this is what we need to try. And if it works, then, you know, we can look at our options and see if there's something you can do to keep breastfeeding. That kind of gave me permission to try it. And I never really looked back, because once I saw what a difference it was making, it was just clear to me that, you know, I had been letting dogma in the way of what was really best for my child.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that dogma. How did, as a culture, we get into this kind of breastfeeding frenzy when just a few decades ago we were a primarily bottle feeding nation?
Well, interestingly, we're actually still... Well, I wouldn't say primarily. We're about a 50% bottle feeding nation at this point. Breastfeeding rates are going up. Unfortunately, long-term breastfeeding rates are not. But, you know, within the first 6 months, almost half of us are breastfeeding. Even if it's not exclusive, we're at least primarily breastfeeding. But the way we got into this was, like you said, we were a predominantly bottle feeding society for a long time. And the reason this was is because the pediatric community had managed to convince women that their milk was not the best thing for their baby. Formula in the 50s and 60s was seen as this, you know, technological, advanced, wonderful thing that was going to provide, you know, better nutrition than Mother Nature could. And then what happened was there was a scandal in the 70s with the Nestle Corporation. And they went into Africa and basically convinced women, the same thing that they were telling them here, that their breast milk was not sufficient, convinced them to use formula, left the country and left these women in a situation where they had no access to formula, they had no access to clean water, and the results were horrific. Tons of babies died. It was a really terrible situation. Well, back here and in other Western nations, people started getting really rightfully upset about this. But instead of making it into an issue of, you know, corporate greed and misconduct, what happened was people in the medical community who felt like this was a morally wrong thing to do, which they were right, took it upon themselves to start looking into the health effects of formula and figured that if they could make a case that formula was bad for you, that they could really take down the formula companies. So we saw a slew of studies come out around then that were showing that breastfeeding was better for babies than formula. So this has continued because we have science that supposedly shows that there's these immense benefits. Politicians have signed on. There's been a large push within, you know, the feminist community to sort of take back the breast and make breastfeeding a feminist issue as well. So we have all these forces sort of converging and making breastfeeding a public health and a political and a feminist issue. And that's how we ended up where we were.
But what does the science actually show? I mean, you go into that in great detail in the book, showing that, you know, not all of the science is, I don't want to say is there, but it's been maybe interpreted in the wrong way by some of the so-called lactivists.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to put it. You know, it's a tricky situation because the last thing I would ever want to do is suggest that breastfeeding isn't good for babies. It is. It clearly is. However, I think that the studies that we do have, well, first of all, we need to understand that they're mostly associative. So they're not taking two groups of babies and saying, okay, we're going to blindly assign half of you to formula feed and half of you to breastfeed, and we're going to watch the outcomes. Obviously, that's not ethical. So what we have instead is observational studies. So we'll look at what happens to babies who are exclusively breastfed in the long term versus babies who are exclusively formula fed. Problem is, there are fundamental differences between the families who are exclusively breastfeeding and those that are exclusively bottle feeding. Obviously, there's socioeconomic differences, but even beyond that, there's just some very intangible differences between the mothers who are doing both these sorts of feeding. And also, you have to factor in why that baby is being bottle fed in the first place, because if there were health issues that contributed to breastfeeding failure, that may also play into health issues later on in that child's life. So anyway, you have these flaws in the studies. So that's problem number one. Problem number two is, even when the studies are as strong as we can possibly hope that they are, so for instance, sibling studies that look at children within the same family when one is breastfed and one is formula fed, which is sort of taking out some of these what they call confounding factors. Even in those, you know, we can see some statistical differences that are significant statistically. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're really significant in the lives of everyday women who live in areas with clean water and good health care. So, you know, if they tell you you have a 50% greater chance of problem X, that doesn't mean that you're 50% more likely to get that problem. It just means that within the pool of people who are going to get that problem, if you are bottle feeding, you have a 50% higher chance. So that pool of people, we might be talking about 3 people out of a million. My feeling is, if the differences were that clear, we would be seeing it on a population level. We would be seeing it on an individual level. And we're just not. So I do think that, unfortunately, we've allowed our exuberance about breastfeeding to really kind of sneak in to the science. And a lot of the researchers who are doing this work also are breastfeeding advocates. And to me, that's a big conflict of interest.
You talk in the book a lot about the argument of moral superiority when it comes to breastfeeding and the guilt trip that many mothers are put on. Can you elaborate a little bit more about that, especially as related to your own experience? I mean, what were the reactions you were getting from people when you came to the fact that you were going to have to bottle feed your son?
I think for me, because I had an excuse at the beginning, I used that excuse and I didn't get as much vitriol as I probably would have if I had just said, eh, it wasn't for me. So I think, you know, mostly I was met with pity. The pity was really difficult for me to deal with as somebody who didn't feel like I should be pitied. I mean, here I was with this beautiful child who was finally thriving and healthy and everything I wanted in life. And yet people were looking at me like him and me were something that should be, you know, felt sorry for. It's just, you know, that was really it was a very strange experience for me. And I do talk in the book about feeling like I had a scarlet letter, you know, like a big B on me or I guess F for formula feeding. And to hear comments like that really get under your skin, you know, and just, I think, contribute to feeling like you have to make up for it somehow and, you know, be this perfect mother in every other way to make up for the fact that you're not doing what every mother is supposed to give to their child as, you know, the gift of life.
I wonder if the breastfeeding debate is part of a larger cultural conversation we're having about what is motherhood and what is a good mother mm-hmm. versus a bad mother.
Absolutely, I think it is. And I think breastfeeding is sort of what it's all been focused around, that and work. You know, before the argument was always working mother versus stay-at-home mother. And I think that has faded. It's still there, but I think it's faded a little bit and now become how we're feeding them.
Well, as you mentioned, for as much as it is a personal decision, or at least it should be a personal decision, the breastfeeding issue has been made into a public health concern. What's your caution against us making that into a broader kind of national health conversation?
I think there's a lot of problems with it. I think we have made it into a public health issue, which takes away from the personal empowerment and a more feminist point of view of this, of, you know, it's something that women should have the right to do. Instead, now we're taking away the right to bottle feed. And by making it a health imperative, you know, then society can get involved. And I hear this argument a lot, which is, it doesn't matter what's right for the mother. We have to think of the babies. Oh, the babies. And, you know, that's sort of something that gets thrown at me a lot in my hate mail, which I get every day. You know, it's what you always talk about what the mother needs, but, you know, it shouldn't be about what the mother needs. It's about the baby. You have a responsibility to this child. And that's troubling to me as a feminist. You know, I feel like we're veering off into uncomfortable territory that I feel my community has sort of abandoned bottle feeders. And I kind of think it's time for feminists to step up and realize that this is an issue of bodily autonomy. The other side to that, too, is I think by making it a public health issue, we're also ignoring the fact that 50% of us or more are formula feeding, at least in part, 6 months out. So if all of us are using formula and nobody – it's like the elephant in the room. No one's talking about formula or formula feeding or how to safely formula feed. There's mistakes being made. You know, and I personally think a lot of the – I mean, I think they're minor, but the health discrepancies we're seeing between formula-fed and breastfed babies, I have a feeling that if we actually focused on formula education and helping parents find the right formula for their baby, bottle feeding in a basically a bottle nursing kind of way, you know, learning how to read hunger cues and not overfeeding, all these things that contribute to issues like obesity and ear infections and stomach issues – you know, that's where we can be making some real change. It doesn't mean that we have to abandon our breastfeeding initiatives, but I think if we take it away from this is something that every mother must do and focus more on this is something every mother should be able to do, let's give her the resources so that she can do it if she so desires. But if she can't or doesn't want to, we're also going to ensure that she has all the resources she needs to bottle feed in the safest way possible.
At the risk of minimizing the choice that women should have to decide whether to breastfeed or not, can you explain a little bit some of the reasons why some women might not just be able to, that they don't have a choice for whatever reason?
Absolutely. Well, the statistic is that only between 1 and 5% of women can't make enough milk. Now, this statistic, unfortunately, gets thrown around a lot. It gets thrown in the faces of women who are complaining that they, you know, have tried everything and are driving themselves crazy trying to make enough to keep up with their baby's needs. And they're told time and time again, it's not possible if, you know, it's such a small percentage. Well, if you think about how many babies are born every year in America alone, let's say even if it's only 3% of women who can't make enough milk physically, that is still thousands, tens of thousands of women who are suffering from this issue. And on top of that, this statistic comes from one study that was done, I think in, I want to say, one of the Scandinavian countries years ago. It doesn't even have anything to do with our population. It hasn't really been backed up by any other study. It's really just an assumption and I think a bad one. So that is for women who do not produce enough milk. Now, on top of that, we also have babies who have latching issues. We have mothers who are on medications that do not mesh well with breastfeeding. You know, we're getting more research saying that it's safe, but not every woman feels comfortable with the amount of research that's there because we just haven't had these drugs around enough to have good long-term info saying that they're safe. So, you know, that puts women in an odd position, too, to try to make that decision. Then there's women who have suffered sexual trauma or sexual abuse. This can make breastfeeding really uncomfortable and difficult and triggering. Some women who have had this experience find that breastfeeding is really healing and empowering, but a lot of them don't. And again, they're ignored in the breastfeeding literature and told that this is a way for them to heal. Or I've heard from women who have said that, you know, when they told their care providers that they were sexually abused and they don't feel comfortable breastfeeding, they have gotten comments like, well, you know what? If you're healed enough that you were able to get pregnant, you should be able to breastfeed.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's, you know, there's a whole laundry list of conditions.
And your experience, even in writing this book, was that there really aren't these resources available for mothers who either can't or choose not to breastfeed. That's how we got bottled up.
Yeah. There really are no resources. And I get questions every day that I'm not comfortable answering because I'm not a doctor. And it's really sad to me that, you know, I become like the one go-to for bottle feeding advice when, I mean, where are these people's pediatricians and nurses and lactation consultants who are charged by the boards that govern them? They're supposed to be offering education and advice for bottle feeding as well. And they're not. You know, instead, I hear from moms who said, well, I call my lactation consultant and said, I've decided to start supplementing. How do I do this? And they basically get told that, you know, they can't help them and that they're making the wrong choice, instead of that health professional accepting that that parent has made a decision and giving them advice to help them do it in the safest way possible. So, you know, the fact that a blog written by a journalist has become a resource for health advice, I mean, that should tell people that things are really warped. So, I mean, currently I'm working on an initiative to work with hospitals and breastfeeding centers and mothers groups to try to get some of this information and education out there to new moms, because we can't, you know, ignoring bottle feeding or pretending it doesn't happen isn't helping anybody. And until we can have statistics that show that, you know, across the board, 100% of women are breastfeeding successfully. We have to address these concerns, you know, and we have to make sure that women are getting the information and fathers are getting the information that they need.
Well, Suzanne Barston, thank you so much for coming in and sharing Bottled Up with us.
Thanks for having me.
Suzanne Barston is author of the new book, Bottled Up, How the Way We Feed Babies Has Come to Define Motherhood and Why It Shouldn't. She writes and edits for health and parenting publications and writes the blog Fearless Formula Feeder. She spoke with Stephanie Lecce. Wisconsin poet B.J. Best's latest collection takes its inspiration from an area some might think of as decidedly unpoetic. We'll learn about it when Lake Effect returns on Milwaukee Public Radio.